Well, good morning. It's good to be here with you. Again, a special welcome to our visitors. It's so good to have you with us. So today is the 18th Sunday after Pentecost, and our reading will be from Matthew 21. You can find that on page 916 if you want to start flipping there in your Bibles. Page 916. And I bring you greetings of grace, mercy, and peace from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So we'll be reading from Matthew 21, and we begin our reading with verse 23, and we read through verse 32. Would you please rise for the reading of the gospel? And when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things? And who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I will also ask you one question. And if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' But if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. What do you think? A man had two sons, and he went to the first and said, 'Son, go and work in the vineyard today.' And he answered, 'I will not.' But afterward he changed his mind and went. And he went to the other son and said the same. And he answered, 'I go, sir.' But he did not go. Which of the two did the will of his father?" They said, "The first." Jesus said to them, "Truly, I say to you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you. For John came to you in the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him. But the tax collectors and the prostitutes believed him. And even when you saw it, you did not afterward change your minds and believe him." Amen. Please be seated. These are your words, O gracious Father. Sanctify us in the truth, for your word is everlasting truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. So this happening comes at a point in the life of Jesus that is very significant. This isn't just an ordinary day, as the beginning of our text says, that he entered in the temple. If we don't know the context, we're going to just think that, oh, this is just another day when Jesus is going in the temple and he's preaching, and there's not really much significant about it. It's important for us to realize that something very, very significant happened the day before this. It was the day before this that Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey. Jesus came, what we call the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem. And he comes in riding on a donkey. That happened the day before this. And also another thing that happened the day before is that the whole city was stirred up with this big question. Who is this? Who is this guy? And all these people gave him this big honor, and they said, "Hosanna, the son of David, save us, son of David." And so there was a bunch of like commotion going on in the city over who this man is. Another thing that happened is when Jesus rode in the temple that day, he went into the temple and he drove out all the money changers. There's people in there that were buying and selling doves and different things for sacrifices. And Jesus chased them all out. he said, "My father's house is a house of prayer, and you've made it a den or a cave of thieves." And he chased them out of the temple. He sent them away. And then something else significant happened. The blind people and the lame people came into the temple. This is something that's unheard of. You know, anyone that has an infirmity doesn't come in the temple. But yet, Jesus chases out these people that are doing all their religious stuff. He chases them out, and then all these blind and lame people come in, and he heals them. It just simply says, and he healed them. Jesus did all this stuff the day before. And the reason I'm telling you this is because all those things, they caused a reaction amongst the Jewish leadership. All these people that were in charge there at the temple, the high priests and the Pharisees and so on, all this Jewish leadership, they were very angry with Jesus for what he was doing. Essentially, Jesus had come into town and he overthrew their religion. Like everything that they held to be like very sacred and important about what they were doing, Jesus challenged it. He came in and he challenged their idea of what the Messiah would look like even. In their mind, the Messiah rides into town on a big, you know, horse or a charger or something like that, where he's going to into battle. He's going to release them from the grips of the Roman government that is over them. And Jesus comes in on a donkey, on this little donkey. He's riding in. It's like totally not what they're expecting. And the people are calling him the Messiah. And so this makes them very angry. And then Jesus goes further and he overthrows their whole system of worship. He comes into the temple and he tips over the tables and he chases them out and he cleans the temple. Sometimes it's called the cleansing of the temple. This is what happened the day before our text. And so we can see there's a lot that's building up to this moment of Jesus entering the temple to teach that day and this question that the leadership has for him. And so Jesus challenges them and all these sort of things, and so all this intrigue is happening there. This is what's going on. And then Jesus enters the temple. He enters the temple and he's going about teaching. He's a teacher. He's a prophet. He's teaching the people. And the Jewish leadership, it says that when he entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching, and they started to question him. They asked him, "By what authority do you do these things? And who gave you this authority?" In other words, like, what right do you have to be doing this? Who do you think you are? The thing is, they aren't really asking who Jesus is. What's happening here is they're telling Jesus who they are. They're saying, "We are the authority. What are you doing here? Who gave you this authority to go against what we think should be happening?" And here's the thing, like, that maybe we don't even think of right now, and they certainly didn't realize, their God is standing in front of them. Jesus is the Son of God. He is the Messiah. He is what their whole religion is about. Their God, their very God that they worship, or are trying to worship, is standing in front of them, and they're questioning his authority. That's what's happening here. Who gave you this authority? And so Jesus answers their question with a question of his own. Something that my mom told me not to do. But I'm not Jesus. Jesus can do that. He answers their question, and he's like, "Okay, since we're asking questions, I'll ask you a question. And if you can answer my question, then I'll answer your question." That's how this is going to go. So he asks them a question. It's a very simple question. He asks them, Where was the baptism of John from? From heaven or from man? There's only two choices, from heaven or man. And now John's baptism, just to remind you what happened there, at John's baptism, that was where John was baptizing sinners. Like, people were coming that were sinners, and they were coming and they were repenting. John called sinners to repent. Another thing that happened there is John pointed the sinners to Jesus and said, "This is the one who's going to take away the sin of the world." And another thing that happened at John's baptism is God bore witness from heaven. The clouds spoke, and God said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And so this is what Jesus is asking. This baptism of John, where did it come from? Heaven or men? And so they have this discussion amongst themselves, and they're sort of like reasoning this out, and they're saying, well, okay, he asked us this question. So if we say it was from heaven, then he's going to say, then why didn't you believe him? If we say that, we're going to be guilty of disregarding something that God was doing. You know, this thing is what God was doing. So if we give it that authority, that's the result. And furthermore, they're thinking, remember what happened there? John called us a brood of snakes, and he told us that we needed to repent. And he pointed us to this man, Jesus, who would take away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God, who takes away the world's sin. And so that's really the implications if we say this thing was from heaven. We're basically acknowledging that we were called to repent. God told us to repent and we didn't. That's a big problem if we give him that answer. But what about the other answer? If we say it was from men, well, we have big trouble with the people if we say it was from men. Because this is pretty well an understood thing. John is a prophet. He's a prophet of God. So we're going to have big trouble if we just say, well, now John acted on his own. You know, then we're calling everyone else wrong. And so, what did they do? They did the thing that the fallen nature does. They find a way to not have to answer. They just simply say, "We don't know." The interesting thing is that we see this play out in the Garden of Eden already. When Adam and Eve are in the garden, when they hear the voice of God, they go and hide. They try to find a way. The other thing that the fallen nature does, it finds a way to not have to listen. That's what they did when, that's what these leaders were doing when they were questioning the authority. They're like, how do we shut this guy up? I don't want to have to listen to him. Well, that's what Adam and Eve did. They heard the voice of God in the garden, and they went and hid in the trees because they didn't want to have to listen to the truth. And then the other thing that the fallen nature does is it finds a way, as I said, to not have to answer the question. And that's why the whole thing with Adam and Eve, when God comes and he questions them, they avoid all his questions, don't they? Well, it's your fault, really, God. You gave me this woman. Well, it's the snake's fault. And there's no answerability. They don't want to have to answer to God. And that's what's happening here in the temple this day with the leaders. They're not wanting to answer Jesus' question. Well, we don't know. We won't even tell you the answer because we don't want to admit it. Well, here's the thing. Jesus won't play their game. And so Jesus just simply says, well, neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things. He just doesn't play their game. But here's the thing. Not only does Jesus not play their game, Jesus loves them so much, he won't let them get away with playing their game. He's going to call them to repentance. He's going to call them to himself. And he does this by telling them a parable. He tells them this story, this very short story. And I just love the way it starts. It says, "What do you think?" You know, he's like, "Okay, think through this with me here. What do you think? A man had two sons." So there's this guy, he has two sons. And he says to the first son, "Son, it's your lucky day today. You're going to work in the vineyard today." This is something that I'm sure is not too good news for them. They have to go work in the vineyard. The closest thing I can think of to compare to this is asking the kids to load the dishwasher in my house. It's not a popular thing to do. Well, so this man, he asks his son, he says, or he tells him, "You're going to work in the vineyard today." Well, the response is from the first son, he says, "I don't want to." And again, I've never heard that when it's time to load the dishwasher. But yeah, "I don't want to." That's his response. But so he responds that way, but after he comes around, he changes his mind, and he actually goes. He goes out and, "Okay, I'll do this." And so this guy, he goes to his other son, and the same thing plays out. He says, "Son, it's your lucky day today. You're going to work in the vineyard." And the second son has a different answer. He says, "Okay, yes, sir." Like, "Yep, yeah, I'll go." But he doesn't go. He says he'll go, but he doesn't go. And so Jesus, he asks the Pharisees a question. He asks these Jewish leaders a question. He says, "Which one of these two sons did the will of his father? Which one did what his father wanted?" And then he waits for their answer. And they're like, "Oh, this is easy. The first one." Yeah, it's the first one. Because at first, yeah, he didn't want to go. But eventually he changed his mind and he ended up doing what his father wanted to. The second son, of course, he didn't do what his father wanted because he's really a pretty rotten guy, because he didn't, not only did he not do what he was supposed to do, he pretended that he was doing the right thing. He's like, "Yeah, I'll go," and then he doesn't do it. You know, that makes it even worse. So it's like the answer's easy. Yeah, the first son, he did what the father wanted. And so Jesus lets them answer the question, and then he reveals to them who the people in the parable are representing. And he simply just tells them, he says, "The tax collectors and the prostitutes go into the kingdom of God before you." He's telling this to the leadership, the Jewish leaders. Now, the tax collectors and the prostitutes, this is the lowest class of sinners in their mind. This is the worst people they can think of. And he's telling them that they are leading you into the kingdom of God. There's a delicious irony here, and I hope you catch it. These terrible sinners are leading the religious leaders into the kingdom of God. The sinners are leading the religious people into the kingdom of God. That's what Jesus is telling them. Jesus says, "You know why it's this way? Because John was right. John was right about you. You need to repent. With your religion, you're pretending to do all the right things. But you actually aren't doing anything that my Father wants. You're doing all the things that you want to do." He's telling the Pharisees this. And furthermore, not only was John right about you, John was right about me. I came to take away the sin of the world. A bunch of terrible sinners came to John, and they believed him. They believed what he was saying. They knew it was the truth. They came with all their sins, and I forgave them. I forgave them. I forgave every last one of their sins. These terrible people. So you need to repent. You need to come and acknowledge you're just like that. And Jesus tells them that even though you've seen it, even though you've seen all these things, you're still stubbornly holding on to your way. And this is exactly how false religion is. False religion, it continues to play its games. But you know what it does? The only thing it does, the only person they're fooling is themselves. And that's us too. The only one we fool is ourselves. When we convince ourselves that we're okay, that we can somehow do this thing on our own and please God. But Jesus is so good. God is so good. He doesn't come and play our game with us. In fact, he doesn't let us play our game. Jesus didn't come to play games. Jesus came to save sinners. And that's exactly what he did. He came to save sinners. Brothers and sisters, God is so good. Because God won't let us get away with fooling ourselves into not needing him. He continues to call us to repent, to acknowledge that we are sinners. We are sinners. We are terrible sinners. But that Jesus is a marvelous Savior. Jesus saves sinners. He forgives sinners. He calls us to himself. And he has completely forgiven us all of our sins. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Shall we pray? Lord, we thank you for your tender love and for your infinite grace. We thank you that you intervene when we go wrong and you continue to call us back to yourself and continue to forgive all of our sins. We thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, in whom we have forgiveness. In his name we pray. Amen. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.